Madam Zabaril 8, do you know why the Japanese occupy your house in the first place?
No, you see, there are no signs. They don't know the names. Even who's this that will occupy the entered our house to the place and place in our house was vacant. So they first opened the door. And then next day, everybody came in. Someone of the Japanese could speak English. They said they wanted to play with it. So they could, you know, not in the house, they brought what's in Bengal in front of the house, it seems. I heard the story from my story. They cooked the rice and vegetables, whatever they wanted to cook, all in the compound. And then they slept. In the kampong house, and then after 2 or 3 days, they left. You know where they went, they said, and then pots and pans all scattered around the neighborhood. So the neighbors, good neighbors, the Malays, some of them Chinese, and the Chinese happened to be a very poor Chinese lady. She also took the trouble to tidy up those pots and pans and then arrange them in the kitchen. A great help, this people. We got the news from the letters we got from them, also from my older sister. My older sister said so far away, but the neighbors were just next door neighbors, so they came up and we saw the photo of them. So during those time, during the Japanese time, they were the ones who told us the news of the Japanese and found their house.
Were any of your furniture or things?
Yes, yes. Because before those poor people come there to lock the door, those things were left unattended to for such a long time. Some of the plates missing and pots also, maybe not all were there. So my mother, of course, didn't care. As long as the house wasn't burnt down, because I mean, that's okay.
When you first went back to Kuala Lumpur, did your family re-register yourself with the Japanese authorities there?
No, we didn't do anything like that. I just kept writing. My father was in the law, so we never even cared to get the other side of the world. My mother and my brothers, my younger brothers, tried to get a job. But they never completed the school year when the war broke out. You know what? Not actually a job, but they heard about people selling tobacco, cigarettes, and all that. They joined his friends, their friends, you know, quite a lot of KLMs doing the same job, selling tobacco, selling old coats. I wonder how they got those things. Business for them. So they did well, they earned quite well too. So they were working. When my brothers, two brothers, friends, also a good for their best friends who came to them. Some of them came to stay with us too. So they were the ones who were working. My dad and my mother was at home all the time. And the Japanese surrendered and they didn't work at home.
What about yourself?
I was working. Yes, since I left the airport. I didn't do anything, just helping my mother.
So how did the family live?
My dad had a little bit of saving. Also the boys were working, earning, helping my mother. But we had to ration a lot of our clothes. We couldn't afford to get what we expected. Even the food too. Because maybe that was reminding the walls about the end, maybe because of that. My dad even suggested that because we had quite a lot of furniture in the house. All those not necessary to keep. We even sold some of those things. in brass, only silver and the old, that not necessary. People want to buy, they say, and I just said, as you as my brother said, to me, those unnecessary things, let go. Good thing we went there so long, when my father being ill. Yeah, we ended so soon, and they called my dad to the office. Now, my dad was still ill. I don't know whether he wanted to go back in my bed, come back when the British came, the Japanese were still down when we were there. So we had to go up to do what we could.
Where did your family get the food from?
We bought one of the family, but not the unnecessary things home. Most.
Was it easy to get food from the markets?
Yeah, not so bad in Singapore. But maybe kampung there, handy food. One for me, you got a compound. And they also like chickens, like you could manage the luxury that we wanted. Of course, we couldn't afford to have.
How were the prices of the food like?
Not as bad as in Singapore. And that was why my father wanted to come back to KL. Because we got letters from friends explaining things in Kampung and not so bad in Singapore.
How was your family's living conditions like then when you were at KL as compared with that in Singapore?
Singapore, because my father was working only a few days after he resigned. So we felt okay if we had sufficient money we could afford it. But going back to KL, none was working. After some time, we brothers managed to join his friends in business as a professional. Lucky in KL, in our house being in Kampung, we could manage.
For example, how was your diet like in KL?
In KL, I can't say because we read house, you know, and luckily flourishing. We got no house compound, the house, and I had quite a space at the back. My mother, myself, chickens, and then ducks. We read those things. We could manage those. Things were kind of help to us. And then marketing. Mother in the market, not every day, because with the bomb, we also wanted tapioca and sugar. We felt not very bad, of course. In Singapore, we were working, my dad was working, I was working too. But in KL, although quite a few of us were working, we didn't feel so bad.
Did the Japanese give your family any rations when you were in Kuala Lumpur?
I don't remember. Because after a few months only, July, all remember June and July we reached KL. And then soon after that we got to go to Allies. So making arrangements with family and then. Soon in no time at all we heard about the Japanese loss and the voices. That's right. In so short a time I can't remember what exactly happened.
Were there any bombings of at Kuala Lumpur?
Bombings.
Were there any Allied planes bombing Kuala Lumpur at that time?
I don't know, because I had a mind out. Maybe there was something there.
How did you know about the Japanese surrender?
Radio, newspaper.
What did it say?
I was most of the time in the house. I never cared to go out of the room. I heard my dad was talking about radio and things that they alive. I see my dad said one of the officers, he met, I don't know where, he tells him something about the allies coming back. My dad told me that, but when we didn't know, one of the officers, I don't know where, that I understand, I remember.
So when you heard about the surrender of the Japanese, what was your reaction?
Because we were happy, very, very glad.
Did the Japanese authorities ever disclose the news of their surrender?
I think so. Because my, not to me, of course, my dad and my brothers maybe, because they were out. My dad also was sick, you know. He sometimes followed my brothers. Sick, but in KL, his sickness improved a little bit. So he sometimes followed my brothers out, maybe he met some friends, I don't know. Just close by, near, not far from the house. Maybe he met friends, just that's why I didn't know myself.
Did your father tell you whether the Japanese did announced publicly that they had lost the war?
Yes, mentioned something about one Japanese happens to be a friend of neighbors. Yes, I think so. And then the neighbors discuss those things with my dad. And soon in the papers, the day, next day or something like that, the news were out.
What, do you know what were the reactions of the people at that time to this news?
They looked happy, of course. They looked satisfied. Very, very happy. And the children also. We could see clearly the change in their university. And we were expected, really expected, really were hoping for that day.
What about the reactions of the Japanese themselves?
They were quiet. And then a day or two after that, my dad told us that I could see Japanese, those Japanese all gathered together. They were supposed to go to Singapore, it seems. All those Japanese living in KL for a while. But I remember my dad told us.
Were there any kind of celebrations by the local people?
I don't know. I don't know. We just at home, as usual, we felt happy, that's all. No extra celebrations, nothing at all.
Do you see any kind of conflicts between the local people and the Japanese?
No. I didn't see anything.
Did you hear anything about any revenge killings of those who collaborated with the Japanese during the war?
I heard something about that. I heard, and I was talking about that. That some people were afraid. Yes, we were afraid of each other. But my dad told us during that time, my brothers also, be at home, keep away from the public, my dad said. So, for a few days, the boys didn't go out, my dad also almost stayed at home. because for me, I used to be at home, right? And rather than at home, maybe that was the time those people were trying to take it in or something like that. But I think nothing so bad really happened. Soon after that, not much. It was about that.
What did you hear about in the first place?
The neighbors were talking about that.
What were they talking about?
Some people, during Jimmy's time, of course they were so mad and deaf, but they think they listened to the elders, and they tried to console these youngsters, the young people really had their own tempers, but the elders, the elder men advised them not to do something awful like that, just remain quiet, good thing, and then they listen to this good advice, you see.
And what do you mean by that?
Those young people, because they intended to do something, as you said, it's now to take revenge or something like that. But the elders, the elder folks in the Malays, used to give them advice and not to do such a thing. But it's a good thing they listen to the elders. And so, even if such things would happen, but not much, they could control it. The elder people.
You mean that it was the young Malays who wanted to?
Usually, yeah.
What about the Chinese?
I didn't remember because I was never interested in politics and I never wanted to ask you.
Do you know what were these young Malay people, who did they want to take revenge or?
But not in our area, maybe somewhere in the kampung, since I heard in the, where there was so not that I heard rumors, where there was two council. Because in the British time, some of those people were so much, I wonder why they were so much pro-Japanese, and they didn't care for families, that was why I think they were so angry about. But the thing, even if serious things happen, those people managed to control it.
Did any Chinese king come into your village?
Our village, no. In KL so far, no. But somewhere in the remote kampungs, I heard also, I didn't see, I heard what people say, if they had a true or not. I think, yes, Chinese, Malays, crashed for a while only, and then they managed to come through. I heard people telling stories about the true or not. That's what my father said, keep away, don't discuss this sort of.
Were there any looting going on at that time?
No, nearby near our house now.
What about in the towns?
I don't know. I was never out there.
What were the food prices like at that time?
I also didn't care about that. Maybe my mother knew. I can't say.
Do you remember whether you were still using the Japanese currency notes at that time or not?
For some time. And then, the first one was in August. Something, a few months after we reached here. Sometime then the British came back, the Japanese, we sent to Singapore. And then, bit by bit, we got back in British money. Now, how it happened? My dad maybe knew. I was at home all the time. So I can't say
before the British came back, who was in charge of the Kuala Lumpur at that time?
Sorry, I don't know.
Were the Japanese still in control of the place?
Yes. Because maybe they knew they were the losers. Huh? Then those people, some of the Malays and the big shops down maybe, were still good friends. I don't know. Nothing all bad happening. Until the British reached. I'm afraid I can't.
Who were the big shops that you're referring to?
The
Japanese.
No, not the Japanese. Malay, Chinese, Indians, they were all the senior officers. I think they did a lot to control the workers, I think so.
What about your own village? Who was in control of the, who was maintaining the peace and order?
The Pengulu, I mean the Pengulu, yes, every time, even before the Japanese got control of Malay, we had Pengulu and all that, each other of us, during Japanese time also. We, those people in KL also, they had the same type of people, each other, like our Kapung, Kamumai. We had in Singapore, we had Sidans. Malaya also, we had those people.
So in general, what were the conditions like before the before the British entered Kuala Lumpur?
To me, I didn't notice anything. Only I heard rumors that there were discontent among those people who didn't want the British to come back. That I heard. But my dad said, don't mix with it, don't get involved in the politics and all that. Just keep still doing your work. That's why I kept doing my cooking of my chickens and all that. I actually didn't know much. I had, yes, but I wouldn't keep it in my mind.
Do you remember when the British went back to Kuala Lumpur?
The date, I don't know, but 1945, yes. Towards the end, I think. September, August or September, I can't remember.
What happened after the British went back to Kuala Lumpur?
And then my dad was gone. So soon he got word, maybe from the senior officers at the office, education office, broadcasted. Got in touch with him when he came to go to the office. That I remember. That my dad was still strong enough. His legs, but it broke quite a lot. So he did go one day. And then he got a job. So quickly, he got a job after the British.
What was it?
Education now mixed with broadcasting. That was
it. How was the living condition like immediately when the British took over?
Changed suddenly. And then only we saw things of the condensing forever. In the first time, maybe we had gone to the town, maybe, but I never cared to go. My mother said, I never cared to go, but we were still there. But suddenly, when the British are returning, the shops, all the way, those things come out, you know. We saw things of condensing and all that. Even though they were expensive, at least a thing or two we could afford to buy. The shops nearby, Chinese shops nearby. Oh, we could see all those things, like cheese and all that. We never had those things in every time. That was the sudden change I noticed. Because the shop was near, close to the house. Now I could go, I wanted to go. My mother allowed me to go just behind the house. There was a Chinese shop.
Do you know when this change took place?
The British suddenly occupied.
Immediately when they came.
That's right. Maybe they wanted to win now, I don't know. Suddenly those things were out, you know? They were doing the next time we can see. We couldn't afford to get one, of course, because in the shops we couldn't see anything, so milk, the medicine, and
did life return to normal when the British came back?
Yes. Only some people, you know, Malays, of course, they tried to not to make the British stay there permanently. Some of them. Yes, of course, we also agreed. Because once they left us, so now them they left, so they tried to get back our own states for ourselves. That was why we got the independence. They were so serious about that.
Were there any incidents initially?
I never took interest. Yeah, I heard about the news and I was glad. Maybe I hope I was hoping maybe the right thing would take place. I said, I was hoping for the best to me.
So what did you do immediately after the war was over?
I stayed at home. I didn't get a job at all. I got news from my former teacher from the company of asking me to go back to school to become a teacher. my sister, my elder sister, was called, so she went to teach. But I couldn't because I was about to get married. So they get married, that means I had to come back to Singapore. So I gave up the job. I didn't take the job at all.
How would you say the war had affected your personal life during the 3.5 years?
I really can't say. Maybe even if there was no war, maybe I would have got married the same thing, the same person. I don't know. I really don't know whether it did me good, the war came to my life, or maybe experience for everybody.
Thank you very much, Madam Zambak.